Rockauto.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Kara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room. How you know?
I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my hand, here is my spout. When I get all steamed up, hear me shout. Tip me over and pour me out.
With your host,
Kitty,
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's take her. Just take her, hate me. Oh my God, it's take her.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. Good people. Like me. All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Sean Khalifa, man.
Toe Chains!
Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam. It's whatever we had to do, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's the life I chose. Gunshots in the dark, one eye closed.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Joining me, or I should say, I am the host, Lindsay Ward. And joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer/co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin.
Yeah, we're here. We're live. Join in on the conversation at Wild Talk Radio or at Rack Radio Show on Twitter. Or join us in our chat rooms at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
Yes, because, well, we're interactive and we love to talk to our fans, so chat us up, send us messages, tweet us. That fun, happy stuff, because we want to talk to you because we want to hear from you. And while we wait to hear from you, I say we jump right into the news because, well, we have a lot of news we have to cover this week. Thank you so much, WWE and GFW and TNA, for all that fun, good stuff.
Mainly Comic-Con. Thank you, Comic-Con.
Yes, mainly Comic-Con. Thank you, Comic-Con. So we're going to jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com, the Haven.
No, TNAsylum.net.
TNAsylum.net. I'm sorry, they changed their name and I botched the plug. My bad.
TNAsylum.net, the Haven for TNA fans.
Yes, and, well, where do we even begin?
Let's start with video games.
Okay, let's start with video games.
Because it's number one on my list, so we'll start with video games. On Monday Night Raw, we saw a little spiffy little trailer, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Someone dug out a belt out of the dirt. It was the old Smoking Skull belt for Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he's the cover superstar, because you really can't call him athlete like they do for other games. He's the cover superstar for WWE 2K16, because he's going to be featured in the game as a storyline of some sort, I believe. No details have been announced, but basically there's going to be a mode based around Stone Cold Steve Austin, and they've chosen him to be the cover athlete, or superstar. See, there I go again. It's a decent choice.
I don't know. Out of all the choices they could have had, it's like, eh. Like, I like Austin. I think Austin's cool and all. But it's like, I wish they had maybe featured someone a little bit more relevant.
Honestly, my two choices in my head going in were Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I would have featured Brock or Roman, or even Seth. Because, you know, he is your WWE champion. In the last couple of years, the WWE champion has gone on the cover of the game. Not this year. Sorry, it's Stone Cold.
Yeah, so it's just weird. I didn't think it would be Seth, because when they probably made the decision was months ago, a couple months ago, before he became Seth Rollins, WWE Champion, not just Seth Rollins, former guest of the Rack. Because, you know, just being a former guest of the Rack should get you to cover. But
it should.
But apparently not.
Apparently not. Sorry, Seth. We tried. We tried so hard.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see what they do with it and what the mode's going to be. I mean, it's still going to have the largest roster, like, ever, so...
120-plus characters playable.
Ooh. Individual characters. That does not include the multiple incarnations of people.
Yeah.
It's individual. 120 individual characters. That's insane.
Compared to the 60-something in the current version? Yeah.
I just hope, the women's mode is good.
I hope so.
Because if you still can't create a female wrestler, I'm gonna be really pissed.
I believe that's been brought back in.
I hope so, because that was a bummer that they took it out.
Yeah, it was, because honestly, it became a bummer, because like, I want Sasha in my game, I want Charlotte in my game. It's like, I can't put them in my game, god damn it.
So. I know, it sucked. So, big congratulations to Stone Cold. Like I said, I wish they had picked somebody a little bit more relevant.
Yeah, I think many people do, but we'll see what they have in store and what type of promotion has lined up. There could be another cover version, because they always tend to throw in a special edition out there, so we'll see what the special edition ends up being besides Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, agreed. So, moving on from there, speaking of, I guess, change and moving forward and all that stuff, because I have no transition for this whatsoever, Brian Gierz has left WWE. He's quit to go on... to go and work for the great one himself, The Rock's production company.
That's pretty fitting, because Gierz, however you want to pronounce it.
Sorry if we said it wrong.
I've heard it both different ways. Either way, he's been The Rock's dude since The Rock came The Rock in WWE and always would work with him in promos and stuff. So he's been The Rock's guy, and Gierz has always, his role has sort of been lessened in the last year or two. So
yeah.
It makes sense for him to go out and see work elsewhere, and The Rock's his boy, so he'll take care of him. Pretty good move if you can get it.
Oh yeah, I mean, must be nice to sort of get a break and go work for your guy as opposed to being on the road with WWE. Imagine it'll let him settle down a little bit and chill out.
Yeah,
and go to California as opposed to being in Connecticut.
Yeah, anything's better than being in Connecticut.
Anywhere is better than Connecticut in winter, except Alaska
or Utah.
Or Utah. Definitely.
But we don't talk about Utah.
We don't talk about Utah. No offense, Utah, but we don't talk about it.
Not anymore.
But what is being talked about, and we'll get into this when we talk about NXT a little bit more, is it was announced that the next NXT TakeOver event will not, I repeat, will not be at Full Sail University. Oh no. No, no. Hunter has outdone himself, because they are going to Brooklyn for NXT TakeOver in August. And the first match has already been announced. We are getting a rematch for the NXT Championship between Balor and Owens.
Let me get the date correct, because I forget the date off the top of my head. Yeah, because we'll talk more about it, because it was announced at Comic-Con. We get the rematch for the title. That's pretty awesome.
If you didn't see Beast in the East, which one, Paige will totally take you out if you didn't.
Yes, she will.
Yeah, she will. Two, if you haven't seen it, go pick up the network. Go watch it. The match between Balor and Owens is worth the $9.99 alone. It is incredible. Plus you get Jericho versus Neville.
Which is great. Which we're...
Hi!
And we'll get more into that during NXT. We'll break down Beast in the East a little bit.
We will.
August 22nd is the date of the show, the Saturday before SummerSlam. They're selling tickets, I think, starting July 18th.
So come on, guys. Go buy your tickets. Sell that puppy out.
They're setting it up for 6,000 to a fan. If they need to add more, they can, since it's the Barclays Center.
Yeah.
They're working the Barclays. Think about that.
NXT's working Barclays. That's pretty cool.
Ring of Honor thought, oh, they'll work Hammerstein and just do a regular show and get 1,500 people. Oh, no, no.
Oh, no. 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 Hunter's looking to impress and looking to get noticed, as it were. And what a better way to get noticed than to sell out Barclays.
Yeah, sell out 6,000 tickets. Get there. Go there.
I mean, let's not forget, NXT, when they went to San Fran, sold out in a matter of what? Hours?
Hours? I think they did 4,000 in a few hours. Yeah, get there. Go. Go see NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. Because it'll be live on the WWE Network. Live.
Yes, which is awesome. But
awesome.
I hope they come here, because I want to see them.
No, they're only coming here on Monday for you. Everyone.
Everybody is going to be here on Monday. It's the go home for the pay-per-view. And where am I going to be? Nebraska.
Awesome.
Yay. Yay. Bray Wyatt's going to be here. ZZ's going to be here. And
she has the best timing ever.
I have the best timing ever. I want to cry.
I know
so
you do.
Hard.
I know you do.
Because I want to go. And I can't. It sucks.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But it's going to be worth it because it will be a fun trip.
Yes.
But speaking of NXT, so I stop whining, Adam Pearce, congratulations to him because he is now officially a full-time trainer with WWE. He moved over the 4th of July weekend or right around that time to Orlando from San Diego and he has now got the regular full-time gig with NXT, so go him.
Pretty cool. We've been following his trek to WWE and the WWE Performance Center here on the show and, you know, as a former guest, we like to keep up with those people.
Totally.
You can go listen to an interview at RackRadioShow.com, the all-new RackRadioShow.com. It's fancy. It's pretty. Go check it out.
He worked very hard on it.
And I'm still adding stuff to it as we go. But yeah, it's cool. He can only do wonders for them.
He can. I mean, it's a great gig if you can get it. And Lord knows he has plenty of knowledge that he can impart upon the NXT students as well as the Tough Enough group. So congratulations to him. I know it's a well-deserved job placement thing.
It's something.
I don't quite know what to call it.
It's something he's wanted. So
it's something he's wanted and it's something he's earned.
Yeah, he's accomplished what he wanted and that's pretty cool.
And the fact that Adam Pearce is shaping the future of WWE, I think I can sleep safely at night knowing that.
Same here.
Quick note on the WWE Network before we announce the big WWE news, because I've been waiting to get to this. WWE Network is preparing to launch or has prepared or has launched in Italy.
They've launched this week in Italy.
So, buongiorno?
Yeah, they announced it on SmackDown and Raw that they're in Italy now, so another country.
All right, they're ticking off countries.
That's what you want. So, network continues to expand globally.
Yeah, and just as a little insider information, if you want to invest in WWE, now would be the time to do it because supposedly WWE is expected to grow per market analyst by about 40% over the next 5 years.
Their stock has been upgraded in last week, so.
Yeah, so they are expected to have a major, major rise here. So if you've ever wanted to invest in WWE, now is probably your opportunity to do it before the stock potentially goes up.
Agreed.
And one of the things that could make that stock go up, okay, maybe not, but I'd like to think so because I think it's awesome. The long awaited Dean Ambrose movie has finally been announced. He shot it way back when, like what, August of last year? Was it August of last year?
Yeah, right after SummerSlam.
Right after SummerSlam. He was gone. He shot the movie. He came back. We've heard nothing about it since.
Every week it's like, have you heard anything? Have you heard anything? When's the movie coming out? Have you heard it? Have you heard about it?
It's like, is the trailer coming out? Is the poster coming out? You know, has anybody heard anything on it? Nothing. Nada. For almost a year. Well, this week, the wait, it's over, y'all. It's over. The poster is out for 12 rounds, 3 lockdowns, starring Dean Ambrose. And dude, he looks awesome.
What was the comment you made compared to the other two lockdown, not lockdowns, 12 round movies?
He looks legit.
Looks like a legit cop, yeah.
He looks like a legit cop. Like, thing is like, with 12 rounds, it's like, you look at Cena, and you look at Orton, and it's like, yeah, okay, you know, it's like, Cena's a cop, Orton's a EMT, it's like, yeah, okay, but it's still John Cena and Randy Orton. You see pictures of Ambrose on the set, and you just see Ambrose on the poster, he looks legit badass.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he looks completely convincing. It's still Dean Ambrose, and you know it's Dean Ambrose, but it's like, I can buy this. I can buy him as a cop running around creating all kinds of mayhem and destruction. I can totally see it.
And the poster's now on the technology screen for those who haven't seen it.
Oh, technology screen.
So fancy, yeah. Our fancy technology screen that works. But yeah.
But yeah, I'm actually kind of excited for this movie.
I am too. It'll be interesting. I don't watch many WWE films. This one we may have to watch.
Well, it's a WWE film, so you always take it with a grain assault.
Right. If it's decent enough, we may actually talk about it on the show.
Well, I have good feelings about it, just with the way that Ambrose is, that he has a much more natural quality to himself, a more genuine quality, and I think that will translate on screen.
Yeah.
Because I think it's just going to be him going in and being him, but he's a cop.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be no, it's going to be a much more serious Dean Ambrose. It won't be the lunatic fringe that we're used to seeing on television, but I think he will still go in there and do what he knows to do.
Right, and it'll be available on September 11th of this year.
interesting date.
Yeah, yeah, well, what can you do?
What can you do? We're going to talk about Tough Enough here in a second. We do have news on that, but before we do, just some real quick notes from the indies, GFW, and TNA. Kurt Angle had successful neck surgery this past week to remove a tumor, so congratulations to him on that. I hope he gets better soon.
He is reportedly going to be back in action in 4 weeks, which is interesting timing since TNA films in 3. So will he probably, knowing Kurt Angle, he'll probably try to push himself to be ready in 3 to work the TNA TV tapings, but I doubt it.
I don't think he'll be ready to go in 3, but he'll probably be at least there for TV.
Yeah, most likely he should be.
Yeah, but congratulations on the successful surgery. Hope you feel better soon.
Yes.
Because that's never fun to have surgery.
Yeah, he went back to his previous doctor who has worked on him for all of his neck surgeries in Pittsburgh, so apparently it was all successful, and at least he didn't lose a finger.
Like several football players did this past weekend.
Yeah.
But, and also, you know, his medical records were not obtained.
No, but apparently that dude's now filing a lawsuit.
Oh, I expect he should. You know, that I told you last night, somebody's getting sued.
The hospital's getting sued because the reporter is fine because he didn't break the law.
No, the hospital did because somebody took a picture of the guy's medical records and gave them to the reporter.
Yeah.
And that's a violation of the medical privacy laws or something like
HIPAA.
That.
HIPAA.
So yeah, somebody's getting fired and somebody's getting sued.
By the way, here's our public service announcement. If you're a pro athlete, don't use fireworks. And if you're drunk, don't use fireworks and blow up your head.
Yeah, yeah. To the dude that blew up his head, I'm sorry to his family, but I really kind of have no sympathy because somebody really should have told him that was a bad idea.
He thought it was a dud.
Never put fireworks on your head.
Yes.
And light them.
This is our public service announcement here on the Rack.
Ding! Also, quick announcement regarding ex-TNA talent, I should say, Austin Aries, will be returning to ROH in Las Vegas next week.
And possibly more.
And speaking of Vegas, Global Force Wrestling announced that the name for their upcoming TV show will be entitled GFW Amped, and it will hold its first TV taping later this month in Las Vegas. Aries is going to be in Vegas. GFW is going to be in Vegas.
Different timing. You're probably going to see a lot of TNA superstars into GFW TV tapings reportedly. So
yeah.
That'll be interesting. I'm not sold on AMP. I heard Jeff's video where he's amped about this and amped about that, and they're amped about all these different things. Amped. Okay. It's not the greatest name for a TV show.
All the good ones are taken.
Apparently.
But, yeah. And speaking of indies and TNA and WWE, there is a common thread between all of them. And that is OVW, owned by Danny Davis.
Well, was.
Was owned, because it's the end of the era. Danny has sold OVW to
Dean Hill,
who is the announcer, play-by-play guy for OVW. So, it's the end of an era. Danny's moving on.
Yeah. It's, what, 20-something years, 30-something years, something like that?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
He's been there forever. He has trained John Cena, Randy Orton. He was the head, or he was involved with WWE's developmental program for years before they moved away from OVW and went down to FCW. So, and then he got involved with TNA, was a part of TNA's developmental for a little while before they ended that program. I don't have anything to say bad about him, you know. The couple times I ever met him, he was super nice.
I haven't heard a bad thing about Nightmare Danny Davis.
I mean, he's a good guy. He's a stand-up guy. He's a great trainer, clearly. He's trained a lot of greats. And, you know, Godspeed and congratulations as you move forward in your life. I hope whatever next step he takes is hugely successful.
Agreed.
But there's some big shoes to fill in OVW.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, so there is.
Best of luck on that one. And last, but certainly not least, we're going to transition back into WWE just for a second because, well, we're going to move into Tough Enough. And one of the things we have to address is what happened on this week's Tough Enough and the fact that, well, somebody quit.
Yeah, someone did end up quitting the show. Diana?
Diana left due to, they made it seem like on the show that she left because everybody was ganging up on her and she, you know, she basically couldn't handle that. But in reality, she had personal problems at home that she had to go deal with.
Yeah, her business, one of the people managing her business while she was away ended up paralyzed in an altercation at the store. And, well, they had to go home and take care of the business, which is why she left. That's what she told Lita on a digital extra that was available on WWETOUGHENOUGH.com.
Yeah, so she left to go handle business, so best of luck to her. You know, sad to see her go because she's actually pretty decent.
She was one of my favorites to win. I'm not saying I was, you know, full-on supporting her, but I kind of thought, based around the talents that are available, she was one of the favorites to win the female contract, at the very least.
Out of all the girls, she seemed the most dedicated to it.
And she had the most, I think, most natural ability.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because she was actually kicking some of the guys' butts.
Yeah, she was very strong in the competition. So yeah.
Very unfortunate that Diana had to leave, and because she left, WWE is going to call in an alternate for her.
Chelsea Green, something like that.
Who is a former student of the Storm Academy.
Yes.
And so she will be stepping in for Diana this coming week on the show. I hope they've been training. I hope the alternates have been training alongside with the cast, because that's a little unfair if she's got to come in 4 weeks in and she's behind.
She's got to play catch up really fast.
Yeah. But seeing as she's trained under Lance Storm, she's probably going to be okay, because she at least knows the basics.
She has the basics down, so that's pretty good. So even if she wasn't training, she at least knows the drills, because Storm's trained down in Performance Center, so he knows what they do.
Yeah, he knows what they do. She's probably already in good shape for it. So yeah, she won't be hurting that bad, I imagine, but still, I told Rock, I was like, it's really kind of unfair if you're an alternate and you haven't been training, and then they bring you on to the show, and you're, you know, however many weeks behind, and you've got to play catch-up. I was like, that's not very fair for the competition. So I would guess that the alternates have probably been training along with the cast somewhere else, but that they're not being featured on the show, obviously, because they're the alternates.
Right, and they're not doing the challenges, they're just training.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the show in general. This was an interesting week. One, it was a much more fluid show.
Yeah.
The competition this week was entrances and personalities. Ooh, some of these people didn't have some personalities, and some were entertaining, and some were just alright. One person we felt really bad for was ZZ, because the judges sort of ripped into him.
Well, Billy Gunn ripped into him.
Billy Gunn ripped into him, yeah.
Because basically ZZ got All-American Hero, and the poor child did his best, and, you know, he walked out there with the idea of seeing it through the eyes of a child. So he walks out there with this feather headpiece on and a vest and these itty-bitty tight shorts that showed all his
manhood,
as it were. And, well, Billy Gunn ripped him a new one, because he thought ZZ was parodying a American Hero, which wasn't the case.
No, because he explained that his mind works slower than others.
To which I said, good lord, the child needs to find Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
Now, somebody, for the love of God, in WWE, if you're within the sound of my voice, make this happen. Like, when they go to Raw this coming week, that would be awesome to say.
But anyway,
you know, just had to put the pause for dramatic effect. But yeah, so ZZ had problems. Another one that had problems was Daria. She got the fallen angel. And so her idea for it was to come out in this horrible wig, a halo, and this ginormous fake fur coat, and literally fall. Like, trip and fall.
Yeah.
And then she would get up, and the stuff would come off, and she would be in this, like, devil, like, red and black skin-tight outfit. And she would become all, you know, like, badass-ger, arg, fallen angel type thing.
It was awful.
It was awful, and she kept tripping and falling, and nobody knew if it was intentional or not, and it was just problematic, and everybody was like, yeah, no, that's not gonna work. Good try, though.
Yeah.
And finally, Little Miss Cheesecake... I'm sorry, her name is Sarah Lee, she's getting called Cheesecake. Paige did it, blame her. Got the Queen of Mean.
There's not a mean bone in her body.
There is seriously not a mean bone in her body. Like, her and Gabby needed to switch things. Because Gabby got the Farmer's Daughter.
Right.
And Sarah gets Queen of Mean, which, to her credit, she dressed it right. She had on, like, this studded bra and these black shorts and, you know, this real minimal makeup, and she looked, you know, clothing-wise, she looked the part, but you look at her, and she's just not mean. You can just tell. She doesn't have a mean bone in her body.
No, she doesn't.
But she tried. She really did give it an effort, but, you know, once again, the problem of her not showing enough personality came through.
Yes.
Where we didn't really see her bust out of her shell much.
No, we really didn't. And she just likes to smile, and it hurts her being mean.
It hurts her being mean a lot. But somebody who was ready to bust out was Gabby of her underwear, because Seth Rollins showed up, and, well...
At least she wasn't you know.
She wasn't fangirling nearly as hard as she did for Roman.
She learned her lessons to keep her mouth shut about her excitement.
Yes. But she was still like, oh god, another hottie. I don't know what she's going to do when they go to Raw, because she's going to lose her damn mind.
Yeah, I feel bad for her husband. Not really.
Yeah, it's like, dude, just don't even watch. This is going to get ugly really, really, really quick.
Yeah.
But the good gimmicks, or the upticks, were
Georgia was good.
Georgia got the bitch role.
She played it well. Her ring entrance was really good.
She just walked out there and owned it.
She did. She was trying to be Sasha Banks, even though there's only one Sasha Banks.
She was actually kind of trying to be a cross between Lana and Sasha.
Yeah.
And she was working it. She was owning it.
She did pretty good.
Another good one was Patrick, who got the evil genius, and he walked out with Lita's dog as his pet.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So, good on him.
Good on him. Mata was good. He was the Pharaoh King of the Ring.
Yeah, he walked out, and, you know, he was intense, and he was screaming, and he was scary looking, and it was like, hey.
Right.
You actually could, you know, see the superstar underneath.
Right.
And then there was the rest of the pack. Yeti Dude was just okay. He was the British bruiser.
Yeah, he really couldn't do much.
He dressed it okay, but the accent was awful. Yeah. Like, I hope to God he does not do that in front of Wade Barrett next week, or otherwise he may get his butt kicked. May. Possibly.
Afraid I got some bad news.
And then Tanner. Oh, bless Tanner's little heart. The love child of Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins. Because everybody has love children in my world.
Yes. Which we'll talk about during NXT.
Walks out, and he's the stud muffin. And he opted for the lumberjack-esque beefcake look, where he's walking around in an open flannel shirt and jeans, and he's working it! He's doing alright, and then he goes to jump the ring, and he plants himself right on his face.
Yeah. Tried.
He tried so hard.
He did.
And he just, like, completely, totally failed.
Yeah.
It was special.
It was very, very special.
So I'm trying to think of who else as I sit here and pull up the...
That's pretty much it. That stood out.
Oh, Amanda did the Barbie doll. Amanda did good.
She was the one with the boobs, right?
Yeah, she was the one with the boobs.
Oh, okay. Now, before we get into anything else, we gotta talk about the boobs. Part of the, you know, clip was in the intro for Lindsay now.
Yes, ZZ's boobs are real.
Going off of Tough Talk, they had a little conversation, the girls did, and, well, just listen to this as she goes through the rest of the roster.
And me what? My boobs are real. His boobs are real, but he puts a water balloon down there. Right. So,
why would I put a water balloon in my pants? Oh my God. To take the chance of it popping and using the bedroom in front of America. Why would I take that chance?
That's a good one, yeah.
Bless that little cinnamon roll so hard. He is precious and must be protected at all costs. And he's ours. We're keeping him. I speak for the WWE Universe. We are keeping ZZ. Hear that, Hunter? Adopt him. Make him one of the NXT children. We just want to keep him.
And they got to redo their entrances, and Hogan was really impressed the second time around, unlike the first time.
Well, the second time, ZZ came out, and he cut a promo.
Yeah.
It wasn't an entrance, it was more of a promo.
Yeah.
And he showed his personality, and he explained why he did what he did, and it turned the judges around on him.
Yeah.
Because basically it was, I'm thinking of it like this.
Yeah, this is my character. This is how I think. He's trying to put smiles on children's faces.
Although I told Rock afterwards, I'm like, honestly, for what he got, he could have walked out there as himself with an American flag and pulled it off.
Just do the Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah, just do the Hacksaw Jim Duggan and just walk out there. Get him a little stuffed, like, gator thing. He's good. Because, you know, he's the all-American boy. He could pull it off completely. It would be good. But what he did was fine, although he needs to lose the hat. It's more easier to take him without the feather hat thing.
Yes.
And maybe some pants. Because it was...
Special.
It was special. It was all up in your face. But
even Paige said that.
Yeah, Paige is like, oh my god, it's right there.
Right there in your face.
It's like, get this boy some pants. Now. But overall, it was a good episode, but Paige, I don't know what stuck in her craw, but man, she was Simon Cowling it up.
She was.
It was. She was looking for blood.
Oh, especially on Tough Talk. Ooh, she really was.
Yeah, what you didn't see on Tough Talk was basically everybody but Patrick missed Beast in the East. He was the only person to get up at 5:30 in the morning to watch it, and then nobody else watched it on demand the entire week. And Paige and Hogan were ready to just, like, end the show, like, right there. Like, Paige was getting up ready to fight people.
She was taking her heels off. She was ready to go. Like, because to her, she flew from Japan, flew to Raw, flew to Florida, and they didn't have the respect to go watch her stuff. I get her point.
I get her point, but I don't think it's... I don't think it's as disrespectful as she's making it.
No.
I get it shows a lack of passion.
I think that's what it was.
But it's something of, is this... What is this about? Is this about who's the most passionate? Because if that's the case, just give the contract to Patrick right now.
I think it was passion and some dedication. I think you should do lack of dedication to what they're doing. It, just learning the company, because that's a big deal.
But they're learning the company as they go. It's like you... If you kind of look at it from their perspective, where they're training multiple hours a day, and you're learning how to wrestle, and you're working out, and you're getting your ass handed to you 5 days a week, and you have a day off, and it's a holiday, the last thing you want to do is get up at some ungodly hour of the morning and watch a wrestling show.
Oh, I understand it. It just, but I also get her point of view too.
Oh, I completely get it, but I just think it's like she's, I don't think it necessarily shows their lack of dedication, because if they're watching the network, if they're watching Raw, if they're watching SmackDown when they have time, I don't think it necessarily shows a lack of dedication on their part.
This is true. I also think what we're seeing is, because you hear it from, you hear it just what wrestlers say, they're all not impressed with this crop of talent right now, so they need to see their dedication, and I think that was part of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Whoever wins this, unless it's Patrick, and even then, they are going to have a mountain to climb, because I think a lot of the talent are honestly pissed that this is going on.
Because they're not impressed with this talent right now.
No, because the people that got selected, and aside from Patrick, they're not super fans of WWE, and I'm not saying that you have to be a super fan of WWE, but it's like none of them like talk about how they want to be a wrestler.
Yeah, you haven't heard that yet.
You haven't heard that yet. Like, even Natty called that out. Like, you know, I'm waiting for somebody to mention wrestling, and nobody said that, and the only person that has is Patrick, because he's a fan of the product.
He's also a wrestler.
Yes. Like, the dude can bump like nobody's business.
Right, because he's been working the indie scene.
So, he has the dedication, he has the passion, and that will take him far. What's going to hurt him is he's a little cocksure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he tried to take Tanner's face off.
Yeah. We should actually mention that the elimination this week was Daria.
Yes. Daria got sent home. They just were not impressed with her, so she went bye-bye.
Yes.
But overall, good show. Looking forward to week 4 and the shenanigans in Atlanta, which I will not be here for.
Bad News Barrett will be the guest star next week.
Yes. And potentially others, just because of where they're going to be.
Yes, and apparently they're doing stand-up.
Oh, God.
It'll be interesting. We'll react to it next week on the show.
Yes, there will be a slight delay.
Well,
maybe.
No, we're going to talk about it on the show.
Oh, that's right, this show. Right, I was thinking the Rack Extra.
No, this show.
There will be a slight delay to the Rack Extra, by the way, I was still be out of town.
Yeah. But let's get into a little bit of Comic-Con.
Ooh, the shiny pretties came out at Comic-Con.
Yeah, they did.
The figures for 2016 are out.
We're getting some new figures, including Tyson Kidd, Xavier Woods in the New Day gear, the first ever Hideo Itami figure.
Oh, it looks nice, too.
which Owens commented. He was on the panel with Finn Balor, Charlotte, and Sami Zayn. The interaction between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. It's great.
It's awesome.
Owens said, does it come with a broken shoulder? We're going to see a Sting in the line. We're going to see the Charlotte figure, which we've seen the pictures of. Ooh, that was pretty good.
She had a moment when they gave it to her.
Yeah. They presented with her first sample of her figure. She said she had a pinch me moment, and then Kevin Owens pinched her. And she was like, Kevin?
Like, you know, a proper gentleman would do.
Exactly.
He pinched her in on the arm, I believe.
Yes.
He was a gentleman.
The battle packs will be, for the first time in the line, the Ascension, J&J Security.
And they look so good. They have the little earpiece and everything. I want it.
The Bella Twins. And Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose.
And they look good as well.
We have Elite figures, The Miz in white gear. Dean Malenko for the first time.
Stephanie McMahon in her wrestling gear, the APA for the first time.
I'm so excited!
Adam Rose and the Macho Man Randy Savage. Some work in progress figures include Bayley.
Yay!
Sheamus with the Mohawk. The Undertaker from WrestleMania this year. We have a Kevin Owens figure, and his reaction was, needs more color.
Yeah, it's all gray.
Because it's not finished yet. Elite figures coming up will be the British Bulldog. The Godfather for the first time. Finn Balor.
Including the ring makeup.
Including the ring makeup, yeah.
The body paint, the which body. I may have to buy that.
The body paint. And, Sami Zayn.
I may have to buy that one too.
And, well, listen.
And also we are working on Sami Zayn.
You mean the belt he had for 2 months?
Oh, Kevin, you're such a jerk.
Since it comes with the belt, yeah.
Such a jerk. I love it.
WWE Defining Moments series will have The Undertaker from 1999.
Complete with nipple rings.
Complete with nipple rings. They'll be available at the end of this year. Hollywood Hulk Hogan in the around the Royal Rumble time. And Sting in USA gear around WrestleMania. The WrestleMania Series 55 will feature Charlotte, Taker, Bray Wyatt. Very, very happy Bray Wyatt.
Kind of scary looking Bray Wyatt.
Randy Orton, Corporate Kane, Sting, John Cena, El Torito. We'll have a 54 series with Big Show, Roman, Rusev, Ziggler, The Rock, and Tyson Kidd. We got some old school figures lined up with John Cena, Jimmy Hart, 99 Jericho, The Million Dollar Man, and Paul Bearer.
Sorry, I marked so hard when I saw it. I was like, it's Paul!
Yeah, she did. And we have,
I can complete the family.
She can. We have Seth Rollins' Cash-In series, which is, set, which it comes with the belt and the case for WrestleMania. And then they opened it up, and William Regal was the person in charge of the panel. And after going through all the figures, this is what Regal had to, Regal basically said the following, thanks to designers. Thanks for mine, because there was no figure for him. We have Kevin Owens' favorite figure was the Steve Blackman figure. Best thing for him is so that his son will actually have one of him, which is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Sami Zayn, talking about growing up from 5 to 19 years old, he had the old Hogan's and King Kong Bundy's. He would just lie around the house and do random wrestling moves with the figures. Because, you know, that's what he did. Finn would collect many different figures, including G.I. Joes and Legos, as we've seen. And his favorite figure, though, was the Vince McMahon one in the gray suit. His quote was, I used to be his boss, now roles are reversed.
Oh, Finn.
And then Kevin Owens talked about, well, his legacy.
My legacy in 10 years' time? It's hard to tell. I think it's going to be a legacy of chaos and destruction, mostly. But, The thing that I want to be remembered the most for is that I got on Raw on a regular basis before Sami Zayn. And I've been here a year and a half. Charlotte.
I love these two so much. I just love that. I got to Raw first.
On a regular
basis. You got the call first, but I got to Raw first.
Yeah.
So there.
There you have it. And then we heard about Sami Zayn's injury. Take a listen.
I should be asking you this. You're drunk with everybody. Yeah. Well, actually, so you may notice I'm out of my sling as of yesterday. I really wish I could give you and everyone else here a time, a place, a date that I'll be back, but I really don't know. These things are, unpredictable, so we'll see how it's going, but so far so good. I'm shooting right now for the end of 2015, early 2016, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Kevin Owen.
Massive jerk. It's awesome.
Yeah. And then one other funny line, because they were then moving to, well, Finn Balor, and listen.
You're so hot!
Thank you, Dave. I get it all the time.
That's pretty cool.
Mother, please.
I love Regal so much.
Yeah, yeah. As we mentioned, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, and TakeOver. And one of the couple of fan things, fan asked Kevin Owens, can you beat Brock Lesnar? He goes, I'm a pretty confident person, but we'll have to find out. We will find out sure enough, and it'll be fun trying.
Oh, God, Kevin.
And then was asked about potentially being Undertaker's last WrestleMania opponent. Owens said he isn't sure of that, but he'd love to send him in retirement with a loss.
Cocky, isn't he?
He is. Overall, from what I saw of the panel, because they streamed some of it on Periscope, it's pretty fun. I'm excited for some of these figures that are coming out.
I'm excited for some of these figures. I'm excited for some of the upcoming matches. I think the future is bright.
The future is bright.
And we're getting a new Bray.
Very, very happy Bray.
Very, very, very happy Bray. Well, you know, Bray should be happy. They just finally made the figure match the picture on the outside of the package. Because he's super happy on his package.
Or is he super happy about his package?
I don't know. Why don't you ask him?
Well, maybe one day.
Maybe one day. You know, you still have to book him.
Let's go to break.
Along with the other list of people. Anyway, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about NXT, Beast in the East, and some other stuff. Potentially SmackDown. I know we haven't decided yet, have we?
We'll talk about things.
We'll talk about stuffs. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cigs.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of Scream retires. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, oh, you fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck?
Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green. No one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Somebody give me a goddamn...
Ah, it's fucking Sunday. You can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to get wild by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rock on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And, well, that ominous music means just one thing. The VOD villains are on their way because we're here to talk all about NXT.
And it was an interesting episode of NXT this evening, that's for sure.
I would say so.
It kicked off with, Sasha Banks in action in a handicap match, apparently against Dana Brooke and Emma, because, well, just take a listen to this. They'll explain. Maybe. Handicap.
Not only is she beautiful,
you
she's good at math.
You're the boss of NXT? Really? Really? Sasha, come on. It looks like we were right. You could not find a partner. Yeah, we're right. We're so right. One of you. You know what? You are right. I couldn't find a partner. But if you honestly think that I'm scared of you, Little Miss Piggy, and your kangaroo friend, well, guess what? I'll take both of you on.
You gotta admire the guts of Sasha Banks.
I don't know if this is a best case scenario for Sasha. It might not be the brightest decision, but I mean, no way. Oh my goodness! I think Dana Brooke and Emma look just as confused as we are.
I'll be your partner, Sasha. But you owe me one.
So the BFFs reunited.
For one night only.
This was a solid match.
This was a solid match. I think Dana's going to need to get some ice for that burn.
Yeah, she will.
Yeah, because it was Sasha Banks being Sasha Banks and Dana Brooke trying to be Sasha Banks, and, well, it just kind of failed.
It kind of failed. good teamwork from the old BFFs for a while, and then Dana then worked over Sasha. Sasha would eventually get the hot tag, two running knee attempts in the corner. Sasha would hit the bank statement on Dana. Charlotte locks in the figure eight. Your winners are Sasha and Charlotte, and they had their hug after the match.
They did, and well, then...
Well, listen.
Things got a little heated.
A little bit.
Hey, woman, a deal's a deal, though. I want an NXT women's title shot next week.
Graves, you called it.
Charlotte said it.
Like you promised. That's what you want? Well, guess what, sister? It's on.
Graves, you called it. You're absolutely right.
So next week, NXT Women's Championship, Sasha Banks and Charlotte. Oh my god, I can't wait. It's gonna be awesome.
I'm personally excited.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Sasha versus Charlotte. How can this be bad?
It really can't. Now, I gotta mention one thing about the Charlotte thing. Or not Sasha thing. When she entered the arena, she owned that building. There's a difference between Dana and Emma coming to the ring, and then when Sasha came to the ring. She owns that building. She works that crowd, works the camera very well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they don't call her the boss for nothing. She walks out, it's hers. Hook, line, and sinker. Like, Dana and Emma and a lot of the others just walk out. Charlotte owns it. Sasha owns it. It's like, you know what? You want to knock me off? Fine. Come knock me off. But you're going to get one hell of a fight.
Right. It was great to see Sasha back.
So, yeah, I've missed Sasha.
It's been a few weeks.
I get they're pushing Dana Brooke, but honestly, she just doesn't do anything for me.
A lot of people seem that way.
She just, like I said, she's trying to do her best Sasha Banks, and compared to the real thing, Sasha's better. Hands down, Sasha's better. I mean, it's just Dana's just...
To Dana's credit, let's see where she is in a year.
I mean, I'm willing to give her a chance for a year, but so far I'm just not that impressed by her.
I will say this, she continues to improve as she goes.
In the ring. Still don't like her voice. And I know there's nothing she can do about that, but I just don't like how she speaks. Don't like how she sounds. There's just something very grating about it.
Someone we won't be seeing in the ring for a little bit. It's Bailey. Take a
no!
look.
I'm not here at an NXT live event, but I didn't get to wrestle. Emma broke my hand. So I've been sitting around and watching everybody go out and have all these matches, living my dream, doing what I want to do, and I can't do it because of Emma. But I've been able to sit back and think a lot and kind of gather my thoughts of what I'm really here to do. My number one goal is to become the NXT Women's Champion. I don't know if you've heard of anybody named Triple H or the Rattlesnake Stone Cold, because they came back from injuries and they became champions. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. And Emma, you are the first person in line, because when I see you at NXT, I'm going to give you more than just a hug.
Couple things. One reason I love Bailey, she's comparing herself to Triple H and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Get it, girl. Get it.
And two, she's gonna kick your ass, Emma. Be ready.
Yeah, she's coming for you, man. Bailey's gonna hug you and punch you in the face.
And number three, if you don't follow Bailey on Twitter, you should. When her and Carmella go on road trips, they periscope.
It's awesome.
It is entertaining as all hell. I was watching one earlier today. Yeah. It was great. They're entertaining, very entertaining together. There's one where they sung. It was pretty funny.
They're BFFs. It's adorable.
It really, really is. This is where we're going to transition a little bit out of NXT for a minute, because they showed it on NXT, so we'll get Lindsay's thoughts on the show. Beast from the East, because they showed part one-third of Baylor and Owens, which was an awesome, awesome match.
God, it was so good. It was long.
They got a long time. We saw the crowning of a new NXT champion in Finn Balor, which was awesome. Before they did the traditional streamer things for Japanese tradition with streamers. That was John Laurinaitis' idea. So they did that. They did the girls with the flowers, which Owens chucked the flowers like any good heel would. You had Hideo Itami at ringside. It was a great match. Finn Balor won. The only move we didn't see in the match was the pop-up powerbomb, and well, we did. He would still have his title Well, he didn't hit the move.
He went for it. He tried to go for it a couple times, but Finn was able to block it. But yeah, I liked that they honored the Japanese traditions, that they did the streamers, they did the presentation of the flowers, that they really honored the culture and the country that they were in.
Yes.
That was a very, very nice touch on their part. They didn't have to do that.
No. But it was very, very well done.
Yeah, it showed a tremendous amount of respect for where they were.
Yeah.
And I liked that. Baylor and Owens went out there and they put on a spectacular match. I mean, it was flawless to me from top to bottom.
It was great. It was awesome stuff.
I want more.
Well, we get more. Takeover.
We get more.
Takeover Brooklyn. The other match we were looking forward to, and it was only two minutes long on the show.
One more thing before we go to that.
Okay.
Balor's paint was awesome.
Balor's paint was amazing.
Continue.
Head to toe.
Head to toe. He had I think it's a kanji mask. I think that's what it is on his back, and he had the writing, and it was really, really, really amazing.
So, as I said, the other match we were looking forward to, it was only going to be really short and really, it was only like 2.5 minutes long. Brock Lesnar destroying Kofi Kingston.
Yep.
It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. It was awesome.
Kofi, bless his heart.
Tried.
He gave it his all. He did his best.
He landed on his feet after a couple of German suplexes, but Brock would have just, Kofi, go for a strike, and Brock's like, no.
Yeah, Brock was just no-selling everything.
He destroyed Kofi in 2 minutes, laid him out with the F5 in the middle of the ring. After the match, hit another German suplex, and he gets some height on those Germans. Whew. Kofi flew.
Yes.
Laid him out with another F5. The rest of the New Day came out. They ate F5s as well. It's awesome. It was everything you could imagine. He was the beast, and that's what Brock Lesnar is. It's great to see him in the ring. Would like to see them do that once on Raw, if it doesn't burn a date where he just destroys someone.
Well, he destroyed J&J's car. Does that count?
No.
By the way, I'm sorry. Balor had a no mask. I hope that's how you say it. On his back. Wanted to make sure. Got it. Right. Anyway, yes. Brock just took out Kofi, and then he took out the rest of the New Day. But it posed a kind of interesting idea in my head of, I kind of almost want to see a legit feud between Brock and Big E.
They got build up Big E, but it could work.
Just to have those two beasts going at it, dude, that could be good.
That could be good.
But yeah, basically, New Day got their butt kicked by Brock. Brock got paid to do it, and then he went and partied.
Pretty much.
That's what you do when you're the beast incarnate? I don't know.
The opening match was Jericho and Neville, and I was actually surprised that Jericho won.
I was surprised Jericho won, but this was a great match.
Great match. Lots of counters. Lots of moves. It was nice code breaker from Jericho. And he countered the red arrow into the walls of Jericho for the win. Great stuff. Really good opener for the pay-per-view or special event, whatever you want to call it. Then we also had a good three-way with the girls. Tamina, Nikki, and Paige. They had a solid match. Good match. Nikki retained her title. The road to 300 continues. And then the main event was John Cena and Dolph Ziggler versus Kane and Wade Barrett. And everyone complained, why is this your main event? Because it went 30 minutes. It was your standard Raw tag team match extended to 30 minutes. It's a house show. That's why it finished. It was John Cena at a house show. That's why it closed.
Although, I really have to feel bad for TNA because WWE's house show being broadcast from Japan has better production value than Impact.
Yeah.
Just
saying.
Pointing that out. Like, they went over there with a bare bones crew, did not set it up like a traditional show, shot it, produced it, sent it back, and watching it, it's like, wow, this still has better production than TNA.
Yeah. J Sports wasn't heavily involved with some of the production, so it was good stuff.
Yeah, it was a really good stuff. I liked the feel of it. I liked that it was different and that they did a lot of the things to honor where they were. They weren't intrusive, you know, and the crowd was a good crowd. All in all, it was a great, great show. And from what I understand, they're going to do more of these.
Yes.
Not from Japan.
Not from Japan, and probably not at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, not 5:30 in the morning, please.
But they're impressed with how many people have watched the show and where stuff is coming.
Well, we will watch. If you give it to us, we will watch it.
And we will review it on this show.
We will review it on this show. Or, by God, that's why we have the Rack Extra.
Exactly.
But, yeah, good show. Hopefully they do more of these. So, do we want to talk SmackDown?
No, we still gotta finish up NXT.
Oh, we do. That's right. I'm sorry. Continue.
There's a full review of Beast and East up on wildtalkradio.com that I wrote after I watched it. So go check that out. Go read it. Go read. We're back in the show. After that, we hear from Gable.
Chad, last week you asked Jason Jordan to be your tag team partner, and he turned you down. Why do you think that is?
Last week? This has been week after week now. I keep offering this to him, and he keeps turning me down. But I guess the truth is Jason just doesn't want to be a winner. Doesn't want to dominate. I guess he wants to stay right where he is on the totem pole in NXT. And that's at the bottom. Well, I'm going to stay right here. Ready, willing, and
Gable.
I can't believe I'm saying this.
Say it.
You're in. Next week, you and me, we're going to tag.
See? I knew he'd come around.
So he finally got his yes.
Gable, he doesn't like you like that. No means no.
No, but next week they will team up. So there you go.
Well, we'll see if they can go from being losers to winners.
We'll see. We then heard from Crow.
Inside these four walls are what I like to call the crow's nest. And outside these four walls are the NXT universe. And guess what? Solomon Crow's back. Meaner, badder, and nastier than ever before. Ready to show the NXT universe why I am the resident little monster.
All right, then.
Caw, caw.
And then the resident little monster took on Marcus Louis.
Who is Eric Rowan and Kane's love child?
If you don't think about it, it really is.
I'm serious. He's channeling, 2003? Is that when the mask came off? Three? Kane, after he first took off the mask, and Eric Rowan. Because he talks to the ropes. And he does the childlike movements, but he looks like a young Kane. He does.
He does.
He really, really does. It's just, it's kind of scary. And he wrestles in black pants. He's channeling the slacks, y'all.
And they have K-Man? It's okay, I guess. He had a modified abdominal stretch where he did the claw on his ribs. That was actually unique.
Yeah, that was unique. I'm still waiting for somebody to get tickled in that.
Crowman has come back, finished him off with a running kick in the corner, a low drop kick, and then the crowbar for the win. Your winner, Solomon Crow.
Caw, caw.
Caw, caw. And then we heard from the Vaughn Villains.
After a long absence, Aiden English, Simon Gotch, the Vaude Villains have made a triumphant return here to NXT, and we have cut a path right to the top of the tag team division.
And now we will do as men do. When we defeat Colin Cassidy and Enzo Amore to become number one contenders to the NXT Tag Team Championships.
Okay, one, I think that's the first time I've ever heard Simon Gotch talk. ever.
Right.
And two, I liked how they did the promo because they did it in black and white, like the old film reel, so they're sticking to the gimmick, which is awesome.
Right.
But I liked how they talked. I liked the promo, and it's Enzo and Cass versus Vaude Villains. Do I have to pick?
Yes.
But I don't wanna. Well, I like them both equally.
And that was our main event, number one contendership, back and forth match. Enzo came charging in at one point, ran in a big boot of English, Gotch then worked over Enzo before English worked over him for a while. Enzo tried to make a tag, but, well, he had a jawbreaker, English fell over into a tag of his own. Eventually, he got the hot tag, Cass ran wild, big slam to English, Gotch distraction, schoolboy for a two count. Another big slam by Gotch, air Enzo attempt, but Cass got pulled out. Enzo then goes for a crossbody. It gets reversed into a pin. The winner is Vaude Villains.
Hey, they're the number one contenders.
I believe the tag team title match is next week on the show, I think.
I believe so.
It's a big, big show. Two title matches next week.
Ooh, fancy.
So we can get a little bit of SmackDown if you want.
Yeah, we can.
All right. Couple of things that happened. We saw more of the fake Bray Wyatt.
More of the fake Bray Wyatt. He showed up, and, well, Bray tried to attack Roman, got a Superman punch for his trouble, and then, well, once Big Show beat down Roman, Bray came in and picked the bones, as it were, and Sister Abigail Roman tried to mount him, and then remembered they were not in a match.
Yeah.
Bray's ready. He has prepared himself for this, and he's a little early. Next week, honey. Next Sunday, you can do that.
Right.
You have to wait.
There was an awesome promo exchange between Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins.
Flatten the car.
They did flatten the car.
That hurt. Because you look at it, and it's a brand spanking new $55,000 car, and they flattened it. It's like, oh, that's wrong. That's so wrong. I hope they took everything of value out of it first.
Yeah. By the way, best wishes to Jamie Noble, who has a broken arm and also got stitches in his back.
Feel better, Jamie. We love you. I hope your batarang helps.
Dean Ambrose and Bo Dallas had a good match.
I like these two together.
It's a good pairing.
It's a good pairing. They get along well together in the ring. I kind of want the promo battles, because he looked at Ambrose and he's like, you look like you could be needs use some motivation and a shower. Dean's like,
oh,
aww.
Oh, really, son? Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like, in this ring, let's talk. So yeah, but I like the pairing of Dallas and Ambrose. They get along very well together.
Yeah, we had Big Show and Roman Reigns. And Wise
Not
Big
so
Show.
Much.
Big Show in a shirt? Looked weird.
Yeah, that was weird. When did Big Show start wrestling in a shirt? When did that happen?
Tonight.
It's odd. Something's up.
Something is up. Main event was Rollins and the Ryback. Rollins got counted out. Then they double teamed Big Show and Rollins double teamed Ryback. Roman Reigns, who can't sell an injury, made the save.
Yeah, okay. I want to go off about this, because I'm getting tired of this. They're Cena-ing, that's a word, Roman, where it's like he gets beat down and he doesn't sell the beat down. So, last Monday on Raw, he gets beaten down by the Authority and Bray Wyatt. He gets left for dead. Like, put through a table, triple powerbombed, Sister Abigail'd twice, you know, the whole works. Comes out on SmackDown, he's fine.
Right.
Gets beaten down tonight, or at least Sister Abigail tonight. An hour later, he's fine. Like, I get they're trying to make him seem like Superman, but I'd like it if he sold the beatdown. I'd like it if he made it seem like he was injured. I would like something. Because him just, you know, basically getting beaten down and then pretending like he's fine, that's Cena-type crap, and I hate that. It's like, dude, you just got your butt kicked. There's no way you can be fine.
Shouldn't be making the save once you get laid out.
Yeah, and the thing is like, if you're going to have Roman come out and make the save, you need to have Bray come out and go for Roman.
Yes, agreed.
Because Roman's out in the open, he's distracted, it's a perfect shot for Bray to come out and get him again, or screw with him again. Like, the whole point of this feud should be Bray is constantly on Roman and constantly going after him in some level or fashion, because Bray is in Roman's head. They've established that. So Bray can pretty much do whatever he wants to Roman, and he knows it's going to get to him. So they've kind of backed off the mind games a little bit, and I wish they wouldn't. Like, keep going with it. Keep pushing it, you know? Just go for it.
Right, because they did a good interview on WWE.com with Roman Reigns, and he actually was selling everything. Now it's getting into his head. But on SmackDown, it sort of blew it off. I don't know. It just left a bad taste in my mouth.
I liked in the interview that he kept avoiding the question of, is Bray Wyatt in your head? And Roman would not answer that question. So I liked how he avoided it. I liked how he sold it there. It's just the physical aspect of it. I wish Roman would sell the beatings more than what he is, because at some point, you're not going to be able to hide that, and especially after last Monday, you can at least limp.
Hold your ribs. Something.
Hold your ribs, something to indicate, oh hey, I got my butt kicked 3 days ago, and I'm not okay, but I'm gonna, because it would actually make Roman more sympathetic if he's standing there holding his ribs and he's got a fight and he keeps getting beat up, but he keeps getting up, but he sells the injuries. It makes him more of an underdog, which they're trying to do.
I'm with you.
So it's like, just, dude, just sell it. But that's that rant. And that's,
go ahead.
SmackDown in a nutshell?
Yes, and we have another mini rant coming up here in a bit, but now, Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, I need to get to my favorites. But it's not going to my favorites. Why aren't you going to my favorites?
Because it's Twitter. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, or at Lins Ward, L-I-N-S-W-A-R-D.
Oh, screw you, Firefox. Okay. Tweet of the Week.
tweet of the week.
By the way, normally we would take a break, but we don't have much left, so we're just going to blow through.
Yes.
So, DiGiorno Pizza, a day in the life of a tomato in the sauce of new pizzeria thin crust. Tomato, pick me, pizza dude. The time isn't ripe. Tomato, you're not the sauce of me. Pizza dude, don't get fresh. Tomato, that's my job. DiGiorno Pizza. And crown thy good with Pizza Hood from cheese to shining cheese.
Really?
Really.
Really? Okay.
Really. Complete with an American flag and a slice of pizza.
The emoji?
Yes.
God, people in their emojis went crazy yesterday. Anyway.
Yeah. Becky Lynch, I would hate to axe how much that car costs. Hashtag raw. Scott Stanford, for sale, red Cadillac CTS, needs a little paint and windows and a door. Price negotiable. Hashtag raw Chicago. Aw, poor Fight Owens Fight is looking pretty lonely without his raw, without his title. Hashtag raw.
Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch. Yeah, if you don't know what Becky Lynch does, she sits there and makes puns as she live tweets.
She has the best pun game in the business.
Yeah, girls got skills. Girls got some serious skills when it comes to puns.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran, only thing in my house was a frozen pizza in the fridge, so I ate it for breakfast, and it was all right. DiGiorno Pizza. Maybe you should have put it in the freezer. I'm just, you know, thinking out loud.
Is that it?
No. Becky Lynch, I like roads that lead somewhere good. I'm pretty certain this road to recover, I'm pretty sure, or, okay. I'm pretty certain this road to recovery I'm on leads right to gold in Beck's tea. Now I'm done.
I think you have more than me.
Wow.
Zach Ryder, if you ever see me at the airport and I use my cell phone as a boarding pass, punch me. To be Noble, Jimmy Noble. Oh boy, me and Joey have had so much fun in this car. Hashtag best time ever. Hashtag J&J got game. Jimmy, gotta put the words next to the hashtag so they actually become hashtag. Just helping you out.
Jamie won the internet. Don't lecture him.
I know. At midnight today, the U.S. dollar turned 230 years old. Well, it would have it if it were still around. R.A.P. money. Three-man booth. Wait a minute. Paul Heyman, you forgot about Brock Lesnar's toughest opponent to date. Accomplished 11-time champion Kofi Kingston. Hashtag raw. Three-man booth. No, not Dolph Ziggler's throat. Now he can't tell any more jokes. Kofi, three-man booth. Kofi needs to come out with a bucket of paint so that he and Brock can bury the hatchet. Remember that moment? Good on you. Three-man booth. Brock Lesnar just ripped the door off of the car with the greatest of ease. Hashtag raw. Crossing broad. First the Jello guy, now Subway. I can only imagine the atrocities committed by young Tony the Tiger.
Oh, God.
Keep it five-star. Eva Marie walks into catering Bray Wyatt style.
I'm here.
Divas. Dot, dot, dot. Eva, what? They were playing his music. Hashtag total divas.
Still awesome.
Bill Simmons. Guilty pleasure movie, The Marine with John Cena. You can't ask for much more from HBO 2 at 5:15 in the afternoon. You just can't. And finally, and I found audio to go back to this one up. Ziggler, Nikki, I can give you kids. I can give you a husband. Lana, watching Total Divas. And, well, everyone remembers when she did this. Hopefully. Please.
I read your tweets. Russia stinks, go USA. Not impressed. You're the most beautiful woman in the world. Obviously. You look like you were on Beach Perfect. Follow me on Twitter. Block!
That last part is the gift that accompanied that last tweet. Blocked!
Basically.
There you go. That's Tweet of the Week.
That's Tweet of the Week. Well, speaking of Total Divas, and yes. Eva Marie.
And Eva Marie. Say, segues.
Segues. We actually figured out how to segue.
Took us
at
3 years.
End of the show.
At the end of the year. At the end of the show after 3 years.
After 3 years. We finally figured it out. Go us.
Go us. We're professional.
No, we're not.
Well, you know.
So I just kind of wanted to make this comment because we talked about it on the Rack Extra, but it's been kind of bothering me after watching Total Divas about the situation that went on in the episode. And if you have not watched it, spoilers. But basically, the situation of the episode is that Eva is getting private lessons from Brian Kendrick, provided by WWE, and she's being based in LA rather than going to NXT. Now, bear in mind that when Eva first started, she was actually sent to NXT, and then she was called up pretty much immediately because of Total Divas. So, and she's been on the main roster on the road since. So she hasn't been able to receive a lot of training. There's been some questions as to how often she's training and what she's gotten. And there's been a lot of discussion back and forth that she, and the general consensus is pretty much she hasn't gotten much. And so WWE finally made the commitment to get her properly trained, or at least get her caught up in her training to the point that she could go down to NXT, because as we've seen, she has been appearing on NXT TV. They wanted to obviously get her ready for that and other things. My issue is that you have her being attacked, in quotations, by the other girls because she's getting private training. And there's some jealousy going on with the girls because of that.
Right.
And one of the things that gets mentioned is that, you know, basically Eva's lack of dedication and her lack of passion, which seems to be kind of a common theme that's popping up lately with Tough Enough and now with Total Divas. And I understand that you need to have dedication. I understand that you need to have passion. But I don't think it's exactly fair to her to call that into question, seeing as she's not the one that made the decision to get called up right away from NXT or get sent to Brian Kendrick. Those were both company decisions. You know, everything pertaining to her schedule, aside from being with her father when he was ill, was a company decision. And I think that's kind of being held against her a little bit unfairly because of that. Now, could she have asked for help? Sure. And we've seen her, you know, ask for help from Summer on the show, where obviously it's not necessarily 100% truthful, but Summer's trying to help her and Eva's not necessarily picking it up or isn't the most dedicated student.
No, you need someone more experienced than Summer Rae to be your trainer.
Yeah, you need someone more experienced than Summer Rae, but it's like you see Eva working with Brian Kendrick and she's putting herself into it.
Right, she's showing her dedication, she's showing her some passion, and you can understand their point of views, especially Paige's, that she worked hard to get there, but you can't fault her for trying. Do some people pick it up later? Yeah, and that's what she's trying to do, because there's a lot of people on that roster who have been there 10 plus years and still can't do very much.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that she's willing to get trained, the fact that the company is willing to train her, says a lot, because they could easily just have her be eye candy. They could easily just throw her in the ring. You know, I'd like to point out that girls like Alicia Fox, Brie Bella, Nikki Bella, Layla, Summer Rae.
I wouldn't throw Summer in that category.
No, I'm going to throw Summer in the category that this wasn't their first intention. This wasn't their first job. They were all found either through a modeling gig or a diva search or something along those lines. Same thing goes for Michelle McCool, Candice Michelle, Maria Kanellis.
Right. And it shows the type of people.
Kelly Kelly.
It shows their passion. It shows who's dedicated and who's not.
Well, no, my point is what I'm getting at is none of those girls woke up and one day and said, I want to be a professional wrestler. They were all found by WWE. They were all brought in by WWE and they were all trained. And some girl, and none of them had that dedication, quote, in quotations, or passion. And this is generalization. I don't know personally, but none of them started with that. But you can tell that who developed it and who didn't. And if Brie Bella wants to sit there and lecture Paige about it, then maybe she kind of needs to think back, because she didn't seemingly have that prior to her leaving. And maybe she did. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know her personally, but it seems like she's been much more dedicated since she's come back.
She wants to be treated more as a wrestler than just eye candy.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what Eva's going for. She wants to be more treated more as a, you know, an athlete, other than just, hey, look at me, I'm Eva Marie, and my red hair.
Yeah, and it's something of, you know, before you throw stones at glass houses, maybe you should think about that, because it wasn't that long ago that you were kind of in the same spot as her. Now, the private training, I can see why they're pissed. There's a little bit of jealousy there, but, you know, and my other side of it is Paige grew up in the business. So Paige naturally has a built-in passion and dedication for the business, because she grew up in it. This is her world. This is her life.
Same with Natty.
Same with Natty. Same with Tamina. You know, they would have that that built-in dedication, because this is their family. This is their world. So when they see someone come in and that they aren't as dedicated and as passionate as them, they have a problem with it. I get that. I completely understand it. But it's like, before you hold Eva to your standard, or you hold anybody to your standard, just think about it for a second. You know, they didn't grow up in this. This isn't, you know, this is, like I said, it's not one day that they just woke up and say, hey, I want to be a professional wrestler. I'm going to go be a professional wrestler. That's not how it happens. You know, WWE, they go out, they scout these girls, they find these girls, they bring them in, and they train them, and then they put them on TV. Now lately they've been scouting girls that can wrestle or are better in the ring than what was there. Because for a long time, they would just find something that looks pretty, slap it in some ring gear, teach it a couple moves, and then put her on TV.
Which is what they did with Eva.
And now they're finally training her because they realize that there is something in her that's worth investing in. Because I think originally when they hired her, they just hired her to be on the show. And she's actually gaining traction. She's gaining a foothold. She has a fan base. And that's worth their time to invest in her.
Yes.
Plus, I think they want everybody to be trained to wrestle, even if they don't wrestle full time. Because Lana's trained, isn't she?
She went through some training. I don't know how much training she has. But she has some training.
Yeah, she has some. I think they want everybody to at least have the bare minimum to be able to get in the ring if they need to. I think the only exception to that is Renee Young. I think she's the only one that hasn't gone through wrestling training.
But she's not. She was never brought in for that. She's an announcer.
She's an announcer. So, and I'm sure she's probably been learning a thing or two. Take that for what you will.
We don't want to mention that. Lana can take bumps. You know, Sharon says she can't. She took some bumps already.
She can bump. She actually did a really nice takedown in the catfight with Summer. So I think Lana can. She probably just doesn't get a lot of practice.
They don't want her taking a lot of bumps, but she can.
Lana's main function is to be a manager, but at the same time, they want her to be able to mix it up and get in the ring and fight when she has to, like this whole deal with Summer. Because eventually it's going to lead to a match between the two. And when you have someone like Lana get in the ring, it's special because she doesn't wrestle. That's not her job. She's a manager.
Right.
That's a very, very, very clearly defined role. It's just like Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman knows how to take a bump.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman can do some really basic stuff. But that's not his primary role. He is a manager, but when he gets in the ring, it's a very special occasion.
Yes.
And usually getting beat to crap by CM Punk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was just more my general observation from the show, is it's like, I just feel like people are being held to a standard that is kind of impossible to achieve.
Right.
Especially when they're really kind of first starting out. Eva's sort of an exception because she's been in the company for 2 years, but she was never really given a chance to learn in those 2 years, at least from what we've all seen.
Correct.
I could be completely wrong.
We don't know, but this is what we're seeing, and this is how it's being approached on Total Divas. So, and if you want more of the conversation, go back and listen to our entire podcast, The Rock Extra Total Divas, where we review the entire episode.
Yes, but on that note...
We're done. Speaking of that, check out The Rock Extra Season 4, Episode 1, available at Rock Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com right now. We'll be back next Thursday night. Yes, we will be back next Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Wasn't for a while, but then someone read their ticket and went, hey, I'm back.
You know, shut up. Don't be a jerk.
Oh, come on. Anyway, we'll be back next Thursday night for 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be previewing WWE Battleground. Saturday night, midnight-ish, Ron Parks returns to Chicago, or somewhere in Chicago, for CB Radio Live, midnight-ish. He returns to the scene of the crime. Hashtag Blame Rob. CB Radio WTR. Facebook.com/CigarettesAndBananas. CBRadioLive.com is the website. Sunday night, Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega will be previewing Battleground on Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. At WTR Sunday night, Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. As of now, there is no Raw post show on Monday because Lindsay's out of town. So just aware, we'll probably talk a little bit about Raw on the Rack next week.
But yes.
While we preview it. So there is no post show as of now unless I get talked into it by someone. But as of now, I'm not doing it. So.
He's taking the night off.
I'm taking the night off because, one, I'll probably watch the Home Run Derby too. So, stuffs. Anyway, we'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow the show on Twitter, @RackRadioShow, Facebook.com/RackRadioShow, YouTube.com/RackRadioShow, RackRadioShow.com, the all-new website. It's fantastic. You can hear every interview we've ever done. It's all streamlined. You can find it easily. Get to it, RackRadioShow.com. Let me know what you think. more coming on that website, too.
Please go look at it. He worked very hard on it.
At Wild Talk Radio is how you follow me on Twitter. Facebook.com is Wild Talk Radio Network. Tune in Radio, Stitcher, and iTunes, Rock Radio Show, or Wild Talk Radio Network. Especially for Tune in Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. Don't forget to check out rackradioshow.com, all our social media, because he just gave it to you, and, well, also our very fine sponsors, pwmania.com, TNAsylum.net, gonna get it right, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack, and we will see you next week. Bye.